For the rest of this hour, we talk with South African musician Vusi Moshlasela. For more than three decades, his blend of folk music, blues, and soul has been a soundtrack for change in South Africa. As a young man, he often performed at rallies and spent many nights in jail for his anti-apartheid message. In 1994, he performed at the inauguration of Nelson Mandela. Since then, he has become an internationally known artist, but he still focuses on South Africa and his message of self-determination and forgiveness. He's one of three featured artists on tour in the United States to mark the release of a new CD, Acoustic Africa, on the Putumayo label. And he joins us right now in Studio 3A, so good to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I think the best way to begin this is with a song.
Okay, yeah.
Nezenzo zabo ezimbi zemvelo bazenza izazi zase Africa onje nje naya isaba bahambela enxenye njengezinkalankalam baguquka izigumba njengonwabo bayabuza njengezinyoka baqhamba amanga njengamaphepha kanti futhi bayakhohlwa nenxenye yabo inathi ololo ninje maye maye esikhalazi maye 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 sifela
Vusi Moshlasela on guitar and vocals here with me in Studio 3A. So good to have you with us. And I want to tell our listeners that if you have any questions about his music, his political activism, or his new CD, our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255. And our email address, talk@npr.org. www.mayamimusic.org. What a beautiful song that was. Just tell me something about that song.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, I was singing this in Zulu language. As you know, we've got 11 official languages in South Africa. Well, I speak close to 17, and York Prata, Svenska, Ok, Swedish. So the song is Ubuhle Bomhlaba, the beauty of our land or the beauty of our country. But here I was not only just singing about the beauty of our country, but also about the brutality that we witness from the police during the time of apartheid. The song is more about the wisdom of forgiveness. You know, that, you know, if you forgive, you learn more to release more calmness within the innermost of yourself. But if you don't forgive, you are the one who's suffering the most. You become like a bitter leaf that can just be squashed or be swept away by the wind anytime. So as this, you know, was championed by our grandfathers of humanity, like Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Dr. Nelson Mandela, again also the man who planted the seed of reconciliation as well, Mahatma Gandhi.
Did you write that before or after the end of apartheid?
Well, this was written long before we could think that we'll have the truth and reconciliation, you know, in our country.
So you were already thinking about the idea of forgiveness before?
Well, of course, I'm from the very painful, you know, history, but, you know, South Africans are really forgiving people. So it is just in us. And then I think it's really good, you know, to have that, you know, because forgiveness, there's really wisdom in forgiveness.
I know you were very active in the fight against apartheid and spent time in prison, in jail as a result. And you said that your music blossomed in jail. How so?
Not quite really that. In jail. I mean, I used to be there with some of locked up with some of our comrades. So it used to be more of a high morale, whereby there was quite a lot of poetry and a lot of singing. But also from there, after 1976, when I joined the youth organization under the African National Congress, I was with a poetry group called the Ancestors of Africa that was supported by the late Dr. Fabian Ruberu, who was sort of like, he gave me more of my insight about politically what was happening in the country. And he was assassinated by the forces of the state together with his wife, Florence. And since from that time also, again, I joined the Congress of South African Writers under the Congress of South African Writers in 1988, where I met the like of Mrs. Nadine Kodima, who became more like a mother to me. And she paid for my first music lessons.
Has your creative process changed at all since the end of apartheid? Do you write a different kind of song now?
Well, yes, I do write from the different subjects. Of course, the other question will be what will be the much more positive side of continuing with protest music or protest poetry. I think after the post-apartheid South Africa, it's still relevant for me to continue singing about that, especially now when I look at the ignorance from the youth in my country, those who forget that the rights and the privileges that they're enjoying, people fought for and also people died for. So they need some kind of a cultural revolution in some way. But ranging from different subjects, of course, I also focus quite a lot also on global issues. And of course, sometimes you've got to be romantic and talk about love.
That's right. What are some of the issues that influence your work now, though? Some of the political and social issues that you sing about?
Well, it's more about again the ignorance from people who sort of like really run away, or maybe not trying very hard to realize the truth that there is change, you know, taking place all the time. That the other problems, you know, in other places. Like war, poverty, children dying of hunger in this world of plenty. And people said, no, it's not going to happen to us. And forgetting that, you know, but your neighbor's problem is also your problem, unless we choose not to care. But, you know, the world is shrinking now. We are immigrating to a global village. How much do you want to belong? So we just want to bring those messages to make people aware that, you know, we need to honor each other as people.
All right, let's take a call now from Tanya, who's calling from South Bend, Indiana. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Go ahead.
My husband and myself saw you last Wednesday at the University in Notre Dame at the DePartolo Performance Center. And I just wanted to tell you what a wonderful show. We had such a wonderful time. And it's pretty obvious you and Habib and Dobe just have so much dynamic on the stage. we just really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. Yes, yeah. we had fun too. It was
good. I could tell you guys didn't want to get off the stage, and that's so unusual to see a concert, to see a group of people that enjoy themselves so much. And we also appreciated it. My brother has been in Zambia for 4 years with the Peace Corps, and he's coming home a week from today, so it really touched home for us. And Africa is a beautiful country, and we just appreciated it.
Great. Thanks for your call, Tanya.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about your live concert. Who else is performing with you? She mentioned a couple of other people.
Yes, it's an acoustic Africa with, three artists in the continent, from Mali, Habib Kouate, and from Ivory Coast, Dube Nyaure. And then this is the Dube's Nyaure, first, appearance in the States. Me and Habib will be, we've been, the play and touring in the States for a couple of years. And then it's a very integral show, whereby we fuse quite a lot of our music and then singing in different languages. And we also have, some musicians who are from Tunisia and France. But a blend is such a very nice of more of the African music, dance, poetry.
African singer-songwriter Vusi Moshlasela is my guest, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'd love it if we could do another song now, if that's possible.
Okay. Normally the voice solo at the beginning is a bit long, but I'll try to sum it up and just make it short.
Okay.
This is also featured on the movie Amandla, this song, and it's my first CD, When You Come Back. This is the unknown grave, the one who died maintaining his might, his will been so strong and musically inclined. He's a sad melody coming out like a smoke from the woody fire, confessing who died last night, who died this morning, and why. One dangerous man, 4 million graves, look down into the grave and do not weep. Skeleton confessing the loss of music, culture, and belief. Skeleton confessing the age of lamentations, the age of broken minds and souls. I picked up the soil from this unknown grave and blew it up with the wind as to make reference one day. And I sang, Maibu, ye Africa, sing now, Africa. Sing loud, sing to the people. Let them give something to the world and not just take it from it. And will you ring the bells when you come back? Will you beat the drums when you come back? Our lost African music will turn into the music of the people. Here's the people's music, by the people's culture. And I'll be the one who climb up on the mountain, reaching for the top of our Africa days. All the poor women working for the lazy Lord. Sing, Africa, sing. Africa, sing. Africa, sing. Africa, sing. Sing, sing, Africa. Sing, sing, Africa. Let these illusions of memories be off from the people's minds and souls.
Thanks so much. That's great.
It's a difficult singing with the headphones on.
I wanted to ask you, I know that that when you were young, like, traditional music was banned on the radio in South Africa. Now you're really trying to get young people to play traditional instruments again, right?
Oh, yes. I have a foundation that I've launched in 2000 under my name, Vusi Mahlasela Music Development Foundation. But it's more to encourage students and musicians to start picking up folk traditional instruments like we are using in the Acoustic Africa. Because during the time of apartheid, our radios were controlled quite a lot by whites. They decided what goes in and out. And music that was recorded with the folk traditional instruments, they will scratch it with a needle if a DJ forces to play it, because they call it play unlisted, because it was not tuned to the Western instrument.
Yeah.
And it was more of an insult for us. But I think it's very much important now to bring this balance. That's what I'm doing also with the foundation. And I've borrowed one of the slogans from one of my favorite African writer, Ngugi wa Thiong'o. Africa, teach your children ancient songs so that they should glorify the spirit of collective good. The spirit of collective good through music being Ubuntu, humanity and morality back, you know, to place, but not songs that glorifies money or sex.
You are very concerned, it sounds like, about the young people of Africa, that they understand their traditions and their history.
Very much so, but it's quite a challenge, because I mean, you can say, okay, here is an indigenous folk traditional instrument, you must learn to play it on there. They're like, no, I want to play guitar or keyboard. Why would I have to play something with just one string and all that? So you have to build an interest, you know, tell them the history about those instruments and everything, and that will generate more interest for them to play.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Vusi Mahlasela is currently touring nationwide with Acoustic Africa. His solo CD, Guiding Star, will be available in stores in February. You can see the remaining concert tour schedule and hear a couple of tunes at our website, npr.org/talk. And if you're a music fan tonight, streaming at npr.org, you can hear Paul McCartney conduct the only U.S. performance of his new choral work. The Carnegie Hall performance will be available at npr.org starting at 7:30 Eastern Time. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.